All right. Well, this morning, it's my privilege to bring up my brother, Eric Hesselbach. He is going to be sharing from God's Word with us this morning. And so I'm going to pray for him, and then I'll turn it over and let him take it from here.
Thank you.
Lord, we love you. We want you to be lifted up this morning. We want the focus to be completely on you, Jesus. We cannot save anyone. We cannot change anyone's heart. Only you can do that. And so we pray that you would be lifted up and glorified, Jesus, that you would draw all men and women to yourself through Eric's words, Lord, that you would anoint him with your Spirit and prepare our hearts for what it is you have to say to us this morning. We thank you, God, that your word just never returns empty, but always accomplishes what it was set out to do. We pray that that would be the case again today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. We'll leave that up. Good morning. We are talking about anxiety today. That's great. I've been anxious all week leading up to this. So I've asked Steph if you'd come up. She's going to read the opening passage today. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles by the door. We're going to be in Luke 12. She's going to read 22 through 34.
And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be."
Thank you, Steph. Let's pray. Father, we humbly come to you this morning and just ask for your Spirit to be here with us, to guide me, guide my words, help us understand the gospel that much more, understand anxiety in our life, and understand the work of your Holy Spirit transforming us to the image of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, do you struggle with anxiety? No? Just me. Yeah. I got to be honest, though, leading up to this, and Pastor asked me when he started the Luke series, you know, what do you want to preach on? And I'm like, you know, I've got a couple different things. I could teach about money. I could teach about, you know, the lost sheep and I was like, I want to preach on anxiety because that's always a home run, right? Like, yeah. But what do we get anxious about in our lives? Think right now, right? Think about the biggest thing on your mind right now that's making you anxious. For me, it's being up in front of you guys, but I'll get over it. Our kids, right? Oh, if little guy or gal would just learn and grow and listen to me and do what I say, or, you know, thinking about what the other person's thinking about my kids and thinking about, you know, it's just this whirlwind, right? Or what about work? My boss and what he or she thinks, and I got to perform and I got to make right and I got to do and, you know, I got to look good, right, for my boss. And so I get so wrapped up into all these different fleeting thoughts and this list of things I need to do to provide for my family, be it my own family, us four, five, six, how many, you know, however many you have in your little clan there. And then from there, your extended family, right? And so I'm worried about mom. I'm worried about dad. They're getting older. I'm worried about, you know, grandkids now, and I'm worried about, so I'm just worried. I'm anxious. Like, these things just keep me up all night. And all I really want to do, because what motivates this anxiety? Well, I was taught as a kid, the American dream is the white picket fence, the big house, the Lexus or Lexi. And, you know, this stuff, if I work hard, I deserve it and I can get it. And so I'm so wrapped up into anxiety of what the world tells me or what I was taught as a kid that life should be. It should look like that and I should have these things. I know for me, God has used my work, the work that I've done throughout my life, to truly transform me and for my sanctification. I want to say 5 years ago now, I used to work at a banquet hall. And it wasn't bad to start. You know, I was a server, and I did a couple things, and I kind of worked during the week cleaning up the hall and maintaining and doing different things. But then things started stacking up. The boss wanted more out of me. They gave me more hours, which was great, so I was making more money so I can get my stuff. But now I had more anxiety, more things to think about, more things to worry, more people to impress, right? So ultimately, before I quit there, I had to answer to three party planners. We did 7+ weddings in a weekend. Three party planners, two salespeople, because come Monday they expect the hall to be cleaned and they want to sell it for next weekend or, you know, 6 months from now. Two salespeople, a GM, not to mention the brides and everybody else that was employed. The chef, the sous chef, the waiters, you know, everybody, right? So you can imagine my anxiety during this time. I mean, it was really bad. It was really bad. And I don't know, in your struggle with anxiety, if you ever got to the point of medication for it. I did. So I just want you to rest assured, like, if you need to go to that place and you need to talk to your doctor and it's that bad, gripping your chest so much you can't sleep, maybe you do need to call Doc and see what's going on. Because it was only a short season. They did give me medication, but it was only for a short season, and I got over it. It was to get me through what was going on. So I had the medication, I had the counseling, and I was able to work through these different emotions that, you know, God, by his grace, was helping me get through this stuff. But it was tough at one point there. And even in my current job, you know, the anxiety, the stress, the worry about performing for the boss, about doing the right thing, and it just gets tough. It wears on us, wears on me. Scripture is very clear, and we here at New Life make it clear that Jesus is the good news, right? That Jesus is the answer. So, well, I'm worried about work. Well, Jesus is the answer. Well, I'm this. Well, Jesus is the answer. And that's true. He is the good news. In John 1:14, we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Praise God. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And these are intense words. Jesus is the good news. He is the answer. But, dot, dot, dot. But see, I try to make things happen on my own. In my job, trying to impress my boss, trying to impress the customer, all these different things. The kids, the grandkids. I try and take it on myself. Right? And Pastor made mention a couple weeks ago called a functional savior. You know what a functional savior is? I know we've heard of that term here. Functional Savior, anything or anyone that takes the place of God. Right? John Calvin says that our hearts are idol factories. We just want to create idols that replace Jesus. And it's so true. I mean, this can be the kids. This can be my spouse. Oh, I just want to make him happy or her happy. You know, because once she's happy, then I'm happy. And then, right, happy wife, happy life, right? Things are good. They just flow right when she's happy. Is that what God is calling us to? Is that what he wants? Or are we turning our spouse, our kids, our work, our toys, our bosses into functional saviors? Let me just perform and they'll be happy. And then where am I left? I can't sleep at night. I get headaches. Toss and turn. I go to food, drugs, alcohol, so that I can sleep at night. It's tough. So you see this spiral, right? Just because of anxiety, just because I want to perform for somebody. So let's take a look at what Jesus says. Luke 12. First thing he says in 22 there, says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. How do we not be anxious? Here's the thing. Jesus says, don't be anxious. Well, that helps out a lot. Thanks. Now I'm more anxious because now I'm thinking about don't be anxious because that's what Jesus said. And Jesus is the answer, so I can't be anxious. But I'm being anxious, so what do I do? Don't be anxious. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on it. It seems so simple, right? I mean, who worries about their food and who worries about their clothes? Was it 2-3 weeks ago when we had that really cold snap here? Sub-zeros and with the wind and wind chills and all that. I was happy I had clothes then. That was cold. Can you imagine that without clothes and jackets and hats and everything else? That's cold. But some people do struggle with clothes. And I'm not talking about like, oh, should I wear the shirt with the pearl button-downs today or should I not wear, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking legit. I don't have a tunic for my back. I do not have a fig to eat right now. I cannot afford it. Some people struggle with this. But he's saying, look, there's much more to life than needs. There's more to life than our need, our basic need of being clothed and being fed. So much more to life. See, and we live in a different time, a different culture, a different era, where now we have, you know, now I'm anxious about the latest iPhone that I want to get or the new computer that I want to get or the new car or this or that, right? So we're not so worried about our food and clothes. We're now worried about technology, modern medicine, all these different things that we now struggle with. I was asking Pastor if he had any advice on this, and he said, Tim Keller said it like this. We tend to get worried and anxious because we have our ideas of how our life should go. And we're afraid God hasn't gotten the memo or that God has a different plan for our lives. We don't think God has our best interest in mind. We don't trust that he is working all things for good. What do you think of that? I say yay and amen, Tim Keller. I mean, that's so true. That's the struggle, right? So here I am at a banquet hall cleaning out toilets, and you know what happens at weddings. And it was tough. And during that time, I had gotten my bachelor degree and my master's degree, and I was working through an apprenticeship. Actually, that was after that. But to become a pastor, my heart, my one true desire, my calling in life was to preach God's word. Back in, when was it, 2000, 2001? I'm reading through John chapter 6, and the heavens opened, and there was this light that came down, not literally, but I heard that small, still voice that Scripture talks about, and God saying to me, preach my word. Back in 2000, 2001. And here I am at a banquet hall cleaning up toilets. That doesn't make sense. This is not what God called me to do. And so now I'm struggling. Right? I just want to be a pastor, but he's got me in maintenance or whatever. Can you relate to that? Does anybody else have a dream? How my life should be, and maybe just God didn't get the memo? We so do that, though, in our lives. That's the whole functional Savior. Well, I'll take the reins. I'll take control, and I'll do it. I'll make it happen, God. Don't worry about me. Go worry about them, and I'll make it happen. It's truly a struggle. But Jesus says, don't be anxious about your needs. We see again with the ravens, right? God talks about the ravens. Have you ever seen a raven?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're big. They're nasty. Yeah. I see crows a lot. Those black birds flying around. Those aren't ravens. Those are crows. This is a different thing. God feeds the ravens. He so will feed us. He will help us in our time of need. He goes on in verse 25. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his or her lifespan? When was the last time you added an hour to a day? I mean, we can multitask and manage our time and do this and some crazy cool things some people can do with time and skills and tasks and all that. And that's great, super efficient. But can you add to the day an hour? So your clock is different than my watch. You've got 25 hours, right? We can't. We can't add that. See, worry gains nothing. Worry gains nothing in this world. We can't even add an hour to our life. If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Why worry about the rest if you can't even add an hour to the day? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do you see this? There's like a pattern here where there's a spiritual side and a physical side. O you of little faith. That would be the spiritual, right? I don't have anything to eat tonight. That's the physical. So there's a physical and spiritual side element to this. The good news is God knows our needs. He does. He does. He created everything. I've read Genesis. I've read through to Revelation. Okay, read the book. He's created everything. So why do we think that he doesn't care about our needs? Our needs. Not what I want. Not the white picket fence, the big house, the 2.4 kids, or however many statistically it is now. You know, all these things and the cars and gadgets are needs. Food and clothes. God knows our needs. So have faith in God then. During these moments of anxiety, when I'm so struggling in my head over all these different things, have faith in God. You say, Eric, well, that's easier said than done. It is easier said than done. But in these moments, we need to go to Jesus and say, look, I'm struggling in this right now. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. I really am worried, but I know that it gains nothing. And I know that you created everything, and only you, in you, I can do anything. Yeah? Psalm 46, I preached a sermon, I think it was last summer, on Psalm 46. Great sermon if you have time to listen to. But Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. In these moments of anxiety, in these moments of faith struggle, be still and know that He is God. It's tough, but how hard is it to be still? Doing it right now. I think the struggle becomes our thought process. How do we slow down our thought process? Because I can be still. I mean, I can lay in bed and just be still. But how do I slow down my thought process? I think he says it. Verse 29. And do not seek what you will eat, what you will drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek first His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So that got messed up. But focus on the things of God. So in this time of being still, in this time of anxiety, focus on the things of God. Put His kingdom, Him, first. Because we struggle, right, with the Tim Keller quote of God didn't get the message, and He doesn't necessarily know what I want or I need in life or what my life should look like. So I'll take the reins and I'll try and do things. But in these moments, we need to be still, know that He is God, know that He created everything, and that He's truly up there in heaven on His throne. Nothing happened to it. And He's working these things out for our good, for our joy, for the love of Him and for the love of others. When dealing with anxiety, God says, run to Me. Run to Me. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Run to Me. You're anxious? Run to Me, Jesus said. See, worry steals our rest and our peace. It robs us of our rest and our peace. I don't know if you're like me, but I like the place of being at peace. Right? I like when the mind is kind of quieter and things are good. You know, everything's getting done in a timely manner and life is looking good. And things are just starting to line up. And I'm not stressing about life, about the bills, about different things. Worry steals our rest and our peace. Romans 8, verse 6 says, For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. To set the mind on life, or on the flesh is death, rather, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. In God, in His Spirit, we have life and we have peace. When we look to our own way we think our life should be, right? We look to our toys and our boss and our spouse and our kids and our this and our that. There's death. But when we start seeking God and His Spirit, we'll find that rest. We'll find that peace. So I want to encourage you to be careful what you focus on in this life. Because there is a spiritual side and there is a physical side. And if we so seek the physical side, we neglect the spiritual side, our faith end of life, of seeking Jesus. Of, okay, God, I'm trusting in You. What does that mean? What does that look like? Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40, Jesus said, guy came up to Him, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first command. And He said, second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the prophets and the law. It's all about love. And Pastor has been preaching this through this whole Luke series. It's love. Loving God and loving others in this world. And if we're so anxious, the worry is going to rob us of that love, but the motivation or the strength that empowers you to love, right? If our faith, as he said, O ye of little faith, if our faith is crippled in any way and we're so focused on the physical that we neglect the spiritual, then yeah, we lose that love for God and for others. So that's a lot to say in Luke 12. And I would encourage you, if you want to go home and further study this idea of spiritual and physical, look to Romans 8, Romans chapter 8. Look to Colossians 3. And really study about the spirit and about the flesh. The spirit and the flesh. And how we live, how we should live according to the spirit. But this morning, I want to go a little bit deeper into anxiety. Right? Because it's one thing to say, don't be anxious. It's another thing to say, we are anxious. And we need to work through it. And it's a spiritual, physical end. But I believe that there's stuff under stuff. Right? When you get anxious, when you get depressed, when you get angry, there's always something under it motivating it. It's never this one little account that happened in life. It's something my boss did. It's the family. It's this. It's that. There's something underneath it. Let's dig a little bit deeper. So going beyond our need, what is the real issue, the real reason for anxiety? That's what I really wanted to know, and that's what I focused on the past 2 weeks. I joked about being anxious, but it's so true that the speaker really lives this stuff, whatever they are learning and teaching and growing and God's challenging them on. The past 2 weeks was tough for me, wanting to help us work through anxiety. It was tough because, see, anxiety or sin, let's say sin. Sin is bending in on self. Okay? So it's me being selfish. It's me doing what I want to do. It's me being God and not God being God. It's me doing what I want to do and not focusing on him and not focusing on what he's done. And so anxiety is an uneasiness of mind caused by fear or misfortune. So right now, think about that anxiety that you're thinking about. Either fear or misfortune has brought about this anxiety. And I noticed in my life that, yeah, truly fear does foster or build up or help grow my anxiety. Just because I don't know what's going to happen. Right? I don't know what my boss is going to say. I don't know what my spouse is going to say. I don't know what the kids are going to do. It's just this unknown future fear, and that we just build this script, for lack of a better term, in our heads about the what ifs that'll probably never happen. It's tough. So this morning, I do want to say this. Anxiety is real. It is real. Okay? Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. See, because I've struggled with anxiety. And I just kind of swept it under the carpet, didn't really think anything of it. But I want you to know that it is truly real. Anxiety is real. So in this moment, when you're anxious, when you're thinking about and worrying about and struggling and you're in this whirlwind, I want you to catch yourself. Try and catch yourself in that moment. See, anxiety can manifest itself in different ways. Like I said, depression, anger, maybe even like I got off on the wrong side of the bed. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed or something's off today. You know, so anxiety can manifest itself in these different ways. And so during that moment, I really want you to catch yourself and not justify why you're truly angry about your boss, the kids, work, these different things, but catch yourself in this moment. See, because I think with anxiety, the first step is really awareness or an acknowledgement of our anxiety. Why are we anxious? Jesus said, don't be anxious. And I'm telling you that too. But why are we anxious? Catch yourself in that moment. talking about my works versus God's works, right? So me doing my own thing, making my path right, and not really caring about what God is doing because, you know, he's given up on me because I'm still maintenance and I'm not a full-time pastor. And you're here and not where you are called to be or what you think your life should be. My works versus God's works. John Calvin said it like this. We ought the more to dwell on this thought, that God cares for us in order, first, that we may have peace within, and second, that we may be humble and meek towards men. But we are not thus bidden to cast all our care on God, as though God wishes us to have strong hearts and to be void of all feelings. But lest fear or anxiety should drive us to impatience. In like manner, the knowledge of divine providence does not free men from every care that they may securely indulge themselves, for it is ought not to encourage the torpidity of the flesh, but to bring rest to faith. Those are a lot of big words. John Calvin was a very smart man. Torpidity means sluggish or slow. Okay, so essentially what he's saying here in these two slides is God loves you. God so loves you. God so loves you, he sent his only son to come down to this earth to live the life we cannot live, to die the death we should die because of our anxiety, because of our struggles to get the stuff in life. Was buried, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, conquering Satan, sin, and death. God so loves you. Okay, God wants you to be at peace, and he wants you to love other people. That's what he's calling us to in this life. And then he says a bunch of different things, but essentially he's saying that God wants to know your worries. He wants to know your heart. He wants to love you. And in loving you, he wants to know. He's a father who loves us. Pastor just preached on that last week. He truly loves us. And he wants to know. But he doesn't want us to get into a place where we start justifying our actions and our needs and our anxiety and not come to him. He wants us to come to him. He doesn't want us to get lazy and complacent. He worries about our faith in him. And that peace that we have. So there is a conflict of faith in this world, as I started in the beginning. The world tells us what we should have. You need the latest gadgets. You need this medically. You need that. You need this. You need the car. You need the kids. You need the, you know, all these different things. The new job, the new title, the new promotion. You know, whatever the you need. But the world is just screaming these things at us. And so our faith starts to teeter. Well, yeah, if the world's telling me I need all this stuff and God's not giving me all this stuff, it's not my faith. I mean, I trust God. I love Jesus. It must be God's end. He must not care. Again, he didn't get the memo. There is this conflict in the world, though. In John 16:33, he says, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world, said Jesus. He also said in chapter 17:11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. We see in Jesus' prayer that he wants us to be with the Father who loves us. That despite what the world is screaming at us, Jesus says to us, you need the Father. You need God. So I would encourage you to preach the gospel to yourself. We hear this time and time again. Pastor says it a lot. And we really do. We need to know that God loves us, that we have a heavenly Father that's in the sky, that despite for me, God was always this guy in the sky that would just judge me. He had a clipboard, the glasses. He would look over the glasses and judgmental, right? He's keeping track of all the wrongs that Eric did. Yep. There he goes again. Sinning. I'm a sinner saved by grace. We're sinners saved by grace. It's only through the work of the cross. So what if we, instead of thought of God as that judgmental God, he was the loving God, the loving Father that so cares for us, that is not keeping track of the wrongs, but saying, come to me. Son, daughter, I love you. Come to me. Preach the gospel to yourself. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That in these moments, in our seeking after stuff, Christ died for us. That we need to truly preach this gospel to ourselves. That we can't depend on coming Sundays and listening to pastor say his thing. Maybe we go to community group. Maybe we go to men's group or women's group. Maybe. And then come back on Sunday and hope for our tank to be full of Jesus. That will extend over 5 days of work week, 6 days of life. Do you guys watch TV? I watch TV. Anybody? I'm the only one. You know the commercials on the TV? They're telling you what you need. You need this new cereal because your kids won't be good unless they get this new cereal. Your husband won't be good until he gets this new gadget. You won't be good until you get, you know, all these new things. The world constantly is telling us what we need. And just on Sundays, I come out and listen to the pastor preach the gospel to me? No, preach the gospel to yourself. If you don't know it, approach a leader and ask them, how do I preach the gospel to myself? What does that look like? How can I do that in my dark moments when I'm not here on Sundays? The second thing in getting below the stuff in anxiety, I would say, is this. Work through your anxiety. Okay, so first of all, acknowledge it or be aware of it, which is the hardest thing I think to ever do, is to realize, yeah, I'm just sweeping anxiety under the carpet here. But the second thing is work through it. So process or understanding, right? And so this might be journaling. This might be praying. God, I think I'm anxious at this moment. That guy on Sunday talked about anxiety, and he said to be aware of it and then understand it. And so, God, I think I'm anxious about the bills or my work or this or that, the kids, the grandkids. So what am I to do with this? And then maybe take the time to journal some stuff down. Well, he said, you know, you're anxious about this or that, or you need to work through this. Start thinking about that. And then come, call a friend. Call a loved one. Hey, I'm really struggling with this. This part of anxiety in my life. Can you help me work through it? Can you help me understand it? Just start processing through this information. Why am I anxious? What am I anxious about? What's going on in life? It's a prayer, journaling. And I'm not saying run to social media, right? Don't tweet out what I'm saying right now. Don't go to Facebook and, hey, I'm anxious about this. And don't air it out there. Don't start there. Let's start with Jesus. Let's pray. Let's maybe journal. Or get our words on paper a little bit. Let's talk to a friend, a loved one. Let's go to a community group. This is why we do community groups here at New Life. Yes, some are based on a book. But even in that book, the leader wants to help you and work through what's going on in your life with you. They truly do want to do life with you. Yeah, that made sense. So get into a community group. Talk to a friend, talk to a spouse, get in community group. And the last thing, which we hear every Sunday, run. to Jesus. Not stroll, not walk, not turn the other way, not go to your functional Savior. Run to Jesus. We so struggle with this, but I think that, at least for me, okay, I can look through my life and say, this men's group or this community group or this person helped me see Jesus and helped me go to Jesus and helped me be transformed by the gospel. And I would encourage that in your life. Who's that person that you can call that will image Jesus to you? Are you in a community group? Are you loving God and loving others? Or are you so self-centered and so self-focused that, yeah, you're just so super anxious about life? Run to Jesus. Peter writes, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God wants you to come to him with your anxiety because he so loves you. John 14:15-18. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. He is always with us. So why in these moments of anxiety do we not just run to him? I would say it like this, just go right to right. Right? Because that would be easier than going to functional Savior and then guilt trip and then spiral and then keep on sinning and then somebody finally snaps me out of it and then I run to Jesus. Just go straight to Jesus. He loves us. He will not leave us as orphans. He's given us his Holy Spirit to help us, counselor, to remind us. It's interesting. Thursday night, we have men's group that meets, and I was talking to Matt, and God really brought to my attention just what Jesus went through. You know, because we think that he just can't understand. I mean, he's God in heaven right now, and he will never understand what I'm going through. He can't get my anxiety. He can't get what I'm going through. But in Luke 22. He goes to the Mountain of Olives to pray. And he says to the disciples, okay, you guys stay here and you pray. Pray that you won't be tempted. And I'm going to go over here. And Jesus came over here and he knelt down. And being in agony, okay, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. So I sweat all the time, no matter what. I got these lights on me, and you guys are all looking at me, so I'm nervous. But I sweat. But imagine that sweat being blood. That's scary. Imagine that, taking a jog, working up, it's red. Ooh, what's going on? He sweat blood. Have you ever been so anxious in your life that you sweat blood? I haven't. Anyway, no yeses. He sweat blood. He was so anxious. Going back to preaching the gospel to yourself. How about remind yourself of that in those moments? You know, Jesus sweat blood when he was at the most anxious part of his life. Hebrews 4:15-16 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Amen. So true. Run to Jesus See, worry really impacts our soul. It can break us down, even. It robs us of our joy, leaving us spiritually and emotionally crippled to take on the challenges of a new day. And I don't want you to be anxious. Your heavenly Father who loves you says, "Daughter, son, cast your anxiety onto me. I'm here for you. I love you." So I want to leave with this. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Amen. Join a community group. Become close friends with somebody else here next to you. Get their number. Start communicating with them. Work through your stuff together. Let's love on each other, because we all deal with this stuff. Let's love God and love others. Amen.